Moshe Rabbeinu in last week's parasha and parasha Shmais, not two Shabbos ago now, so Moshe has a long discussion with Hashem. When Hashem sends Moshe, tells Moshe that I want you to go free the Yidden, the Torah records back and forth a whole conversation. Hashem says to Moshe, Ra ra'isi es ani ami, I see the affliction of my nation. I hear their cries. Ki yadativ es machayvav. I understand them. Yadativ is intimacy in the Torah, to deeply, profoundly understand somebody. And Hashem says, I feel them. Ki yadativ es machayvav. I understand their pains. And he sends, I want to send you to take them out and bring them to Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu responds, Vayim Moshe to Hashem, who am I? Mi anoichi ki eilech al parei? Ki oitzi es b'nei Yisrael mi Mitzrayim? Can I take the Yidden out of Mitzrayim? I happen to have seen, he doesn't explain what's his deficiency. He says, who am I? Ki oitzi es, will I take the Yidden out of Mitzrayim? I saw in one of the Mefarshim that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying that to help somebody in a stuck place, you have to be in the stuck place yourself. I wasn't stuck in Mitzrayim. Moshe is coming from Midian. How can I take the Yidden out of a place of stuck if I'm not stuck? Even when he was in Mitzrayim, he was in the Beis HaMelech. And Hashem Vayter tells Moshe, no, that I want you to go. Moshe continues to argue back and forth with Hashem, many, many psukim, on the conversation back and forth. Moshe Rabbeinu says they won't listen to me. Hein lo yaminu li. And Hashem gives him mussar for speaking Lashon Hara, for underestimating the Yidden. It's interesting, Lashon Hara, we're used to derogatory speech. Menashe, we think Lashon Hara is derogatory speech. Many of the examples of Lashon Hara in the Torah, including here when Moshe Rabbeinu said they're so downtrodden, when I come to the Yidden and give them a message of hope, they won't believe me. And Hashem says to Moshe, what's in your hand, a stick? Throw it to the ground and it becomes a snake. Then Hashem says, grab the tail of the snake and it becomes back to his stick. The Svarim bring that Hashem was giving Musa to Moshe Rabbeinu for speaking Lashon Hara on the Yidden. It's interesting that the Lashon Hara was underestimating a people. You think they're so miyoyish that they won't hear a message of hope. It's not true. The psukim go on the back and forth. Finally, Moshe says to Hashem, Be Adoni, please my master, lo ish dvar manoichi. I'm not a person of words. That's always my history. Ki kvad peu kvad lashon arechi. He has some speech impediment, the kfad peh. Now what this means, what does that mean? There's a maral on this, and it certainly means a very spiritual idea. What does Moshe Rabbeinu mean? He's not a person of words. What does that mean, not to be a person of words? What is the mashmois of a person who's not such a good speaker? A kfad peh, heavy speaker. Now, it has a physical expression for sure, but I promise you it means something spiritually. When it says, and the Maral speaks about what it means spiritually. How did you learn? What does it mean physically, Akiva, kvad peh? A stutter? How do you understand it means? Moshe Rabbeinu says he's a kvad peh and a kvad lashon. How does that express? Rashi just says, Bechvedos ani medaber, with some sort of difficulty, heaviness I speak. Speech doesn't flow easily out of me. I'm not a big person, not an ish dvarim. There are people that are very wordy and wordsmiths. Lo ish dvarim anoichi. I'm not a person of words. It's interesting. Rav Matisyahu Salomon, who was just nifter, Klal Yisrael lost the great. 10 years ago, Rav Matisyahu Salomon Menash called the gathering at Shea Stadium. And he asked Klal Yisrael to come to make what's called an internet asifa. He wanted to speak about devices and the dangers on families. He was spot on. Many people had kids in their houses. We did not chap. A whole generation did not chap the access. And many youngsters were caught as youngsters seeing things at young ages, accessing things that the parents were clueless about. The parents didn't grow up with technology, didn't know how to use it. People even thought, what do you mean? I have a filter. And any kid on planet Earth can get around all the filters they had. Parents literally didn't know. Rav Matisyahu gathered Klal Yisrael to make an awareness that today every single guy here knows, every guy, that you better be emotionally connected to your kids. Deeper than ever, you better touch your kids often, physically, touch father and mother, touch your kids every single day. Different kids want to be touched differently. Some like this, fist bump, hug, kiss. Every day touch your kids and be emotionally bonded and connected to your children. Any intelligent person knows with the access out there, if a person's emotional needs are not met, it's dangerous today. And Rav Matisyahu called an asifa in 2014. I got in the car and I went. Rav Matisyahu, to me, I have a tremendous appreciation for tzaddikim and gedolim. Rav Matisyahu Salman is one of the leaders of the generation. That wasn't the question. I was going. And I went with Rai Oberlander Shlita. We went together. It was very funny because he's a very timely person. And in 2014, I was still much more behind. Today, I've met new people. Today, I'm close to Avi Baila. I've been on time this year. In Eretz Yisrael, the guys were going nuts. Things were starting on time.
Let's go, Rob.
So guys were like, what in the world? It's so sad because everybody was missing things because things were on time. Like, I think my new friendship with Avi has like been the Makkeh B'Patish, but I'm getting more on time. Says the man who's just started, must have about 15 minutes. But anyway, but the bottom line is that I went with Rai Oberland, and everybody knows he's very timely, and I'm also timely, just a different type of time. And the bottom line, it was interesting, like two forces together, a force of on time, a force of late, and his force overpowered mine, and we came on time. The stadium was empty. It was a very glorious day for me when I proved to Rai Oberlander that most of Klal Yisrael is more like me than him. We were like Asur Rishonim in the stadium. I'm telling you, we could have gone to the field and hit a couple of home runs. We were like very early in the game.
It's not on time.
No, we were on time, and people, people, yeah, it was Yidden, but we came, he came. Anyway, the bottom line is, Rai Oberlander and I went to this gathering. At the gathering, Rav Matisyahu Salman was a marvelous orator, but he didn't speak till 3 hours in. And there was one or two very good speeches. I'm not here to cast aspersions. Most of the speakers were very hard to listen to. To be honest, that is going out. Tzaddikim, really tzaddikim, they were not like, it was, to my eyes, this is one man's opinion, and it's not that you're going to go look up who spoke. They were all tzaddikim. It was not like a marvelous oratory evening. It was not like, wow. Klal Yisrael has speakers that are dazzling. We have talent in our nation, and it wasn't like that. And at first, I was like almost bothered, Yedidya. Like, come on, and I like competence. It's a personal thing of mine. Things that do things well. You run a tournament, we're going to have Color War. We're going to shock the guys Sunday, Monday, Tuesday with Color War. So it's going to be, I promise, it's going to be ridiculous. We're going to have a Color War. People are going to talk about it in decades. I want you to come, Svi. We're going to have mayors. Whether you join a team or we need a lot of help reffing because all the dorm counts are going to be involved. We're going to give to the winning generals and captains. We're going to give money. We're going to send the winning team on a ski trip. It's going to be a lot of stakes. Daniel, we're getting you involved. You're writing songs, sports. This place is going to be meshuga next week. I hope it's. We're doing the whole thing. Generals, captains. Yeah, Ravezi's going to be involved. It's going to be crazy. There's a big shaila, and I'm going to ask the chevra. Some of the chevra wants Ravezi to be judge. Some are tiny. We should put Ravezi on a team. That's there's even a thought that the general should be Reb Yitz against Ravezi. There's such a...
They have to make up a song now.
They have to make skits.
Ravesi perked up. That was not a no. Anyway, the Kitzur Advarim is that I like things well done, Ezi. You do something, you do it thorough, you do it well, and it disturbed me, Danny. And I don't say that, I do say that I think it should have been done better. I'm not criticizing, I don't know who was involved. I think it's important to do things well. I think it's a mistake. I'm not like changing from that. You run an event, organize, and make sure it's a good event. I think that's important. To me, that's important. Things should be done well. I value this world. I value the world. When you make a basketball tournament, you should do it well. I think it's wrong. People are worthwhile. Yiddy and I have been speaking. Yiddy's coaching a team. I promise you I'm proud of him, and we've spoken about it. Do a good job. Be thorough, well prepared. You do things well. You invest in something. That's important to me because I think the world matters. I think people matter. Situation matters. So do it as well as you can do something. I think that's important. And this event had a lot of, like, speakers. It was hard to hear. It was like a complicated, like what was happening was complicated. And I was a little frustrated. But I want to tell you, and again, Ramatasio spoke, but it was after 3 hours spoke, and I'm not, there were some good speakers. It's not to cast dispersion on anybody and Sadiqim throughout the night. But I want to tell you something that occurred to me, Shmuel and Menashe. What occurred to me is we're a precious people. And I'll explain why. If there were like hours of you have like the coolest, fanciest speakers, then even the shallowest of people would get fired up. Because somebody's up there, whoa, that person's smooth. That person is so... We're an authentic people. We want the truth. And it's cool that the greatest leader we ever had was not a good speaker. We're not a people who fall for that. I have observed of kids of today, I observe my own children, they want an authentic Rebbe. We don't even like the Geschmackster anymore. Chevra! Buddy, chill out. You come to Shia, I promise Menashe St. Mary doesn't want, Menashe doesn't want a guy, a Rebbe, who's like, yo, what's up? No, no. Wants to look in, he's too real for that. He wants somebody to look him in the eyes, say, Menashe, good morning. And then the two people lock eyes and they know each other. So I appreciate the authenticity, Danny, of our people. That we had a leader who was kfad peh, who did not speak very well. It wasn't about dynamic. It wasn't about charisma. It was just about truth. So Yehuda, I appreciate that a lot. Now, I want to qualify that do as good as, I'm not, because I don't want to promote a bad job. A Rebbe shouldn't purposely be boring. I promise he should learn how to run comfortable events. And make. I'm not making a sheet out of incompetence. I'm not making a sheet to Danny out of uncoolness. I think a Rebbe should be comfortable and competent. Chas v'shalom, I'm not turning it into a shita, so give a more boring class. That's ridiculous. I am saying that you have to make sure that the center of everything is the truth. The truth before other things. So good, you have ways of pulling in and etc. But at the core of everything is truth, is sincerity.
Can you be geschmack?
For sure, Geschmack is good. Geschmack matters, but it should be an authentic experience, Shmuel. So what I want to say, Akiva, and I was moved, that event in City Field, that as much as there was a truth to it, that the speaking was challenging, but it made me very impressed with our people. And the sense of our people that we care about the truth, Avi. We have leaders that are sincere. We have leaders. And Kleisel, I don't think too many people, Yosef, would have sat there. Too many nations. If we had some dynamic speakers, so to say that every nation would sit there. We're an honest, sincere people. And 50,000 people sat there listening and focused and trying to pull out. It meant something to me, and it meant something. It told me something about our Klal Yisrael. So that Moshe Rabbeinu was a kfad ped, some difficulty speaking, and said on himself, like Ish Dvarim, not a person of words. And Moshe Rabbeinu, by the way, said, don't send me. Let me, don't send me. You're the one we want to send. You're a person who's real. Of course, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, send the person who could speak better than I can. I'm not a big speaker. And of course, there is such a shtadlus, but we follow the truth for the truth. So I'm not making a sheet to Daniel. Of course, I do think we make an event. I do believe we should get good speakers. We should get people who can... And we have Gedolim. Rav Matisyahu Salomon was one of the leaders of our nation. What an orator. What a speaker. He was delightful to listen to. Rev Gifter, who was the Rav in Waterbury for 4 years, 1940-1944, and was the Rashiva of Tells. Rev Gifter was a phenomenal orator, was a great, great speaker. So certainly we have great... The Nevyeminsky Rebbe. It was a pleasure. For decades, the Nevyeminsky Rebbe spoke at all gatherings of Yidden. Yes. He was a pleasure to listen to. A beautiful language, vocabulary, a tremendous classy speaker. And we were zeiche for decades to have the Nevyeminsky Rebbe. So for certain, I'm not promoting not doing it, but I'm saying about the MS has to be at the centerfold. Now, I want to talk about stuttering for a minute. I am not claiming that Moshe Rabbeinu had a stutter. I don't know. He had some difficulty speaking, kfad peh. It could be it was some form of a stutter. We're zeiche from our yeshiva. There was a guy who was a stutterer, and he wrote a book, The Gift of Stuttering. He wrote a book. He's in Eretz Yisrael. He's one of the real precious people. Was in our base medrash, and he... His name is, I could say his name. He wrote a book to the master's name. Moshe Murnik. Mo Murnik today is a guy who gives daf yomi, who says shiurim, who's very successful in business, speaks, goes around, speaks as a daily daf, teaches Torah at Talmud Chacham, successful, writes and speaks. And he has a very difficult stutter. And he wrote a book, The Gift of Stuttering. He says an incredible story. He was always very afraid of getting an aliyah. He writes this in his book. He was very, very afraid of getting an aliyah because he would stutter when he got an aliyah, and it was just a scary thing. And he avoided getting an aliyah to the Torah, to the point, whatever he had to do not to get the aliyah, he would do. By his afruf, he was a kayin, is a kayin. By his afruf, he felt he couldn't avoid it. By his afruf, a guy has to get an aliyah. And he was called up in Canada in front of his soon-to-be in-laws, the soon-to-be new grandparents, and he was like freaking. He was freaking, and the gabbai calls him up, my shakain, gets called up to the Torah, and he goes up to the Torah, and he's just shaking. This is like the scariest thing. You know what the words of his aliyah was? He said a prayer on the way up. Hashem, I'm frightened. He said, I believe he prayed on the way up to Hashem. I'm scared out of my brains. People say Hashem doesn't respond. It's so hard prayer. We talk, Hashem doesn't respond. Moshe Murnik prays to Hashem. He's freaking. He's in front of me. He doesn't get aliyahs. And he gets up. Rav Ezi said, and the chazan points to the words. You know, before you get the aliyah, the halacha is you're supposed to take your tzitzis, the minag. The chazan points to the words we're reading. You then kiss the word, and you make your bracha. The rule is when you get your aliyah, you might as well teach the halacha. When you get the aliyah, the rule is you leave the Torah open. You don't close it because you're making a bracha on the Torah. You don't want to make a bracha, then open it. The Torah should be opened. But if you look at the Torah, it's going to look like you're reading the words from the Torah. So the minhag in our yeshivas, look to the right. Leave it open, look to the right. It happens to be it's written down the bracha. People are going to think you need that. Who cares? It's good people will think you need it. Doesn't matter. Look to the right, read it, or say it by heart. Don't look at the Torah because the words aren't in the Torah. Some people look up. Some people look up. There is such a minhag. They don't want anybody to think that they need the words, perhaps. Some people look up. The minhag in yeshivas, look to the right. Keep it open. You want to leave it open because you're making a bracha on the Torah. So you leave it open. The bracha after you shut the Torah, because now your bracha is not on the reading, you shut it, and then you look at the Torah, and you can make the bracha. It's closed. It doesn't look like you're reading the words. So the bracha before, leave it open. Because you're making a bracha and about to read it. Because you're making a bracha on the Torah. You should be open and ready to read. So the bracha before the Torah should be open. And then after they read the Torah, close it and make the bracha after looking at the Torah. That is the rule. But the Baal Kaira will point you when you go up there to the words, Menashe, you take tzitzis, you kiss the words. Maish Mernik goes up, he says to Hashem, I'm scared out of my brains. Shlomi is about to get an aliyah. He says, I'm scared. And Hashem, you know, the Baal Kaira comes up, says, what words? God said to Moshe, don't be afraid. Those are the words that the Chazan pointed out. That was his aliyah. God said, the words he points to. God said to Moshe, don't be afraid. He felt Hashem was literally talking to him. The aliyah he gets. He wrote a book about stuttering, about his journey with stuttering. What?
Did he stutter on the
Iliad? That I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did. He has a stutter. But a lot, he write a book, The Gift of Stuttering. It's not about, like, he went to many places to cure it and has built a different kind of life accepting it. Accepting. He went to many, many programs to cure. You can read, he wrote a book on it. Incredible, sophisticated, bright, beautiful person. Very impressive guy. Yeah. Very, very impressive guy, Moshe Mernik. The bottom line is, I want to share with the Chevra, we're learning about Moshe Rabbeinu. I don't know if he stuttered. He had some speech difficulty. He said on himself, La'ish Dvarim, I'm not a person of words, Moshe said. And the Torah said, Kfad Peh. Some heaviness of speech, one can interpret some sort of stutter, but I don't know for sure it's a stutter. I'm not saying much for sure, perhaps, and certainly it means a spiritual idea, but it might have manifested itself physically to have a stutter. Chevra, I want to share with you what you're supposed to do if somebody's stuttering. Now, first, every Dvar Chochma has value. And I beg you, I have spoken to people who struggle with stuttering. I need to share this because I've seen people do it wrong. Now, the first gain of a Dvar Chochma is the wisdom itself. Whenever you study Mishle, you don't run to the Nimshal. First study the Mashal. First study the parable. Every Dvar Chochma has importance to itself. All of us will speak to people in our lives who study. Who stutter. I just met somebody in Eretz Yisrael, a beautiful Yid, who was stuttering, and somebody, I was talking to him, somebody was trying to do something that was completely wrong, and they were like wondering what I was doing. I'd like to talk to the guys about how to deal with somebody who has a stutterer, and I've heard this from stutterers. It could be, I even saw this in his book, but I've heard this from stutterers, but it has, besides the value of the mashal, which is valuable for itself. You will see this in life repeatedly to every single person you ever deal with. So there's a chachma itself, Avi, and a mashal ezi to all of life. I'd like to ask you, it was a long line, I'd never met this person there at Israel. Shalom Aleichem, what's your name? He shakes, what's your name? Usually stutters, often the hardest word in the world is their own name. Yeah. Mo Muller is called Mo, he writes on himself, because Maish is the hardest thing for him to say, and Mo, he was able to get out. Mo Mernik, thank you. I always think about Maish Muller, who does not stutter. But Mo Mernik calls himself Mo because it's just easier to get out than Maish.
I remember when I met him.
Mo.
It was very hard for him.
Yeah.
I thought he was being funny. I just met him.
Yeah. A person's name, for whatever reason, stuttering, a person's name is a tremendous trigger. And he's struggling to get his name. Then you ask, where do you live? And the person's struggling to get it out. What do you do? The person, let's say, says, I come from Los Angeles, and says, and can't say it. What do? You're listening. You ask the person, Gershon, I want the first attempt. You're speaking to somebody. He says, Shalom Aleichem. His name struggles to get out. He clearly hears a stutter. Where are you from? What do? Do you help him out or not? What? I like you a lot. Yeah, the answer is absolutely don't help. Now, it's nobody means bad who helps. It is very wrong. Any stutter, one of the worst things you could do is help people. And I've seen it's almost counterintuitive. almost the natural things. You know what he's saying? He's saying, oh, Los Angeles. And people do it being kind. The guy's trying to get it out. And you know he's saying Los Angeles. So people bail him out. The great bailout. Los Angeles. Any stutterer could ask, will tell you it's the wrong thing to do. And the healthiest thing, the biggest thing to do is to be completely patient. On your face, he's taking a while to say, so what? And you act like he said it fast. You act and you just listen as long as it takes him, as long as it takes him to get out. But your faith, if you show attention, if you show that you're tense, this is, oh gosh. Just,
eight.
If you show tension, so not attention, if you show tension, if you show him tension, then you're also playing it. The best thing is you're completely chilled. And it doesn't matter how long it takes, you're not helping, but you're not either showing on your face. You're calm, and you're receptive to what he says as long as it takes to say it. Then you ask him another question, and he takes a long time, and he sees, so it takes a while to get. So, asthma. You can understand to the person stuttering, as long as you feel it took, for him it's like an hour and a half longer. Because he's looking at it, part of the tension that exists in him is, I can't believe I can't get this out. And the yisurim that it feels that it's taking, whatever time it feels like to you, to him it's like hours longer. And the best thing is with complete patience, acceptance, and presentness, just let him finish what he's saying. Completely calm. Patient, not helping, not even not asking questions, by the way. Ask him more questions. Ask him more, because he's allowed and it takes a while. So he's worth it. What he says is worth it. And everybody has their way of expressing. I want to hear, maybe even more I want to hear from this person. He's not an ishtvarim. It's interesting. On a person who's a wordsmith, an ishtvarim, there are times people are skeptical and cynical. Hey, just a good speaker. A person who's not a wordsmith and tells you something, there's a certain belief you have in their words, specifically because they're not a wordsmith. And the healthiest thing, Shmuel, is to listen patiently, calmly. I know somebody who's a stutterer and thanked a certain Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael, who's one of the great mechanchim in the world, and he described, and it wasn't a trick, this is not a trick. I'm not talking a trick how to listen to a stutterer. What I really want to say is we just learned how to talk to every human being in the world.
This is the
Nimshel. It's the coolest thing, because it's really just your words are worth it. You're worth it. How long you take, I have time for you. It doesn't matter how it came out. You don't have to be so perfect for me. Acceptance, understanding, a want, a validation. I heard a stutterer describe somebody who struggles. I shouldn't call him a stutterer because that doesn't. A Maisha Rabbeinu, a person, a pneumius, describe a Yid in Eretz Yisrael, the way he would listen, the way he would listen when he talked. And the response of the Rebbe was a lesson, not just how to listen to somebody who struggles with stuttering. It's a lesson of had the acceptance to every person, the patience, the acceptance of this human being. I think talking to somebody who struggles with stuttering, I shouldn't call him a stutterer. Like as if Moshe Rabbeinu, he's Moshe Rabbeinu. I shouldn't call, the person's not identified, but a person who has a struggle of getting out his words well, it brings it out. And if you're talking to such a person, you have the lesson of how to speak to every human being. A profound listening. It's the opposite, the midah of finishing somebody's statements. That midah is the opposite of how we're supposed to behave. Let them say it in their voice, in their way, as long or short as it takes to express it, let them say it in their way and hear it and accept it and validate it. That's the best thing in the world you could do. It's so fascinating to me, because when somebody witnesses this, you look like you're being mean. You even look like you're not helping. You look like you're being mean. I had this experience in Eretz Yisrael when I was there, this beautiful Ben Taira, who took a little longer to say it. He had much better things to say. Took a little. I wanted to speak to him longer because I thought his words were so precious. And somebody there was like jumping in, trying to finish for him. It's like, excuse me. I want to hear him. I want to hear him. Somebody was jumping in. I want to hear him. I have times, and I'm not trying to be critical, overly critical of the parent. I do the interviews. I meet a bacher with his parents. And I watch for this. I'm not trying to judge people, but I'm speaking to the parents and to the youngster. I ask the youngster a question, and sometimes a parent will like jump in with the answer to bail out their kid. I'm not talking about a question of fahera. I'm not fahering and put on this. I ask him how many siblings, how old the sibling is. And I want him to express his vantage point. I'll ask a kid, why you leave a certain yeshiva? And a parent will interrupt, not usually, and I'm not being critical. Parents love their child and just mean to be good to him. Sometimes they want to bail him out. He was kicked out. And the parent will like jump in. I want to hear the youngster speak. The irony is I ask Menashe, a youngster, how old is your sister? So the kid says 13. The mom says, actually, she's 16 and a half. The kid's like 4 years off, 3 years off. And I don't really want to hear how old his sister is. I want to hear how old he thinks his sister is. I don't care how old she is. I care how old she, I want his worldview. I want his reality. So I don't even, if he might think his sister's 9 and she's really 4, he might think she's 9 and she's really 43. I want to know the sister that he experiences, what it is in his reality. What does dad do? Well, actually, the guy said, my father's an accountant. The mom, well, actually, dad's not an accountant at all. You know, in his world, he has an accountant for a father. That's what I'm actually getting to meet his world. I want to hear him say it and hear his world. I have seen parents, and the coolest thing is the parent who not just respects the child, lets the child speak and hears the child say it and allows the child to express it in his voice, his way. I really think the way somebody responds to somebody who has a challenge of stuttering is such a lesson how we're supposed to listen to every single human being. It's a tremendous, tremendous mushel. And the instinct of kindness of finishing the statements, you're helping out so much, ask any stutterer, they can't stand it, you're hurting them. It reinforces, I'm klutzy, I can't get it out, I need others to speak for me. Moshe Rabbeinu, what's interesting, says to Hashem, Le'ish dvar manoichi. I'm not a person of words. Ki kvad bekvad lashon anoichi. And Hashem says, who gives a pela adam, haloy anoichi Hashem. Hashem says a line that I love. He says, Va'ata leich v'anoichi eyem picha. I'll be with your mouth. V'reisicha asher tedaber. I will teach you what to say. I'm with you. Say the words that are inside of you. Hashem doesn't say, it's funny, later on, Hashem gives Aaron a Kohen, but it's interesting, later on, when Hashem says, I'm going to have Aaron speak on your behalf, was not the response to Moshe Rabbeinu's taina that I have a speech impediment. To that, Hashem says, I'm in charge of speech and I'll be with you. I'll be with you. I gave you the words that are supposed to come from your mouth. And I'll be with you. And you try your best, and I'll be with your words. The only time he sends Aaron is Moshe Rabbeinu says, but 1 second, I don't want to replace my brother. Shalach na biyad tishlach. Which Rashi learns Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, you always send Aaron. While I was in Midian all these decades, Aaron HaKohen was speaking to Klal Yisrael. I don't want to replace my brother. Shalach na, please send biyad tishlach. Biyad mishu rogel ishleach. I don't want, on that Hashem said, okay, Aaron will speak on your behalf.
Wow.
It wasn't because of Moshe's speech impediment. On Moshe's speech impediment, Hashem said, I'll be with your words. I gave you your words and I'll be with your words. V'reisicha asher tedaber, I'll teach you what to say. There's a certain siyata d'shmaya on every person's words. It's interesting, before we daven, we say, Hashem svasai tiftach, please open my mouth. There's a certain siyata d'shmaya on my words, on your words, on his words. We have a certain siyata d'shmaya. That Hashem puts the words that we need to say, that we should say. We try our best, and we have a Givista Siyata Deshmaya on our words. In deeper, there's a Siyata Deshmaya. And Hashem says this to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ey Anoichi Eyem Picha, I'll be with your mouth. I'll teach you what to say. I want your words and your expression. I want your expression. I'll be with your words. And that lesson, I think nobody more than the stutterer, which perhaps Moshe was a physical, I don't say Moshe Rabbeinu struggled with stuttering, I don't know. But perhaps the physical expression of what it's talking about, Moshe Rabbeinu was not an ish dvarim, and his ikfad peh could have expressed itself, it could be, that's the kfeh de sapeh, the heaviness of mouth, it's possible. But should we look up the Mefarshim, what they say, the kfad peh? Why don't we check up? Did anybody see? Did anybody see if the Mefarshim describe what the kfad peh is? Should we check that up, Akiva? Could you please get in Shemais? If you please get, we're gonna get a shariyarin. He like gives a list of Mefarshim. You know the shariyarin? It's that in the back, the closer shelf kivli. Oh, Aaron's closer. Aaron Ashari, Aaron Parsha Shemais. The Shari Aaron is a sefer, that's a Likud sefer. He brings from a lot of Rishonim and Mefarshim on Chumash, Rishonim and Achrayim. So he'll say a word in the Torah, and he'll bring a lot of... Let's look it up. What were you saying? A lisp. So let's see. Let's see. It's interesting. It says two lashonos. My wife is a speech therapist. I have to ask her. The lashon of the pasuk is kvad peh ukvad lashon.
Whoa, both?
A heavy mouth, a heavy tongue. I have to ask my wife. It almost sounds like there were two issues. Kvad peh, kvad lashon. Somebody said a lisp. A lisp. It's interesting what the shrushim of speech impediments. But it has a lot to do with the tongue. When I was a youngster, I went to speech therapy. I probably had from the most issues you could have pronouncing words imaginable. There probably wasn't the letter, not an S, T, F. The amount of letters was just like most of them I couldn't say. And I was very close to my cousin, who's a Rebbe in Teres Chaim today. We were cousins and very close friends. And I went, my parents wanted me to go. I went, I was so embarrassed to go to a speech therapist. My one tenai is my parents that nobody could tell my cousin that I'm going. And years later, he told me he was at the same speech therapist. It was one tenai that nobody could tell me. So we were both at the same speech therapist. The tenai you can't tell. This is the early days of therapy. Today it's different therapists that we make these tenayim. But the reality is that that's a lot of speech impediments are tongue related, tongue thrust, different tongue issues. Moshe Rabbeinu says kvad peh kvad lashon. Let's look that up. Dalad yud. Thank you, Aaron, for the shari Aaron. Let's look up what the Mefarshim say. Kvad lashon.
No. I told Rebbe, where's the pasuk, Rebbe?
So he brings one pshat from a Rishon. It's in Perek Dalid, pasuk Yud. He brings one pshat that he didn't have a good chituch hadibur. He couldn't enunciate properly. He says it, the tongue and the lips. So with some lip and tongue weakness, and his chituch hadibur, the pronunciation was off. Who said a lisp, Avram? That sounds a little like a lisp. He brings... Rabbeinu Chananel says...
Okay, nothing strange here.
Well...
Shotgun.
Aaron, what are you... what's wrong? What do you see, Aaron?
Car battery.
What?
We got wire. Maybe a tree in the forest, like it's cold.
Maish, is everything okay? The one I feel safest going out there without any gun or anything, if Ezzy would do the song, it would be like a good drum roll. Who is the one who we feel safest now facing some intruder who's... David's going, but who's the bacher? David's pointing. David Gottlieb, please. David, a number of years ago, there's a true story, David. A number of years ago, there was a bacher in yeshiva who was getting a ride to yeshiva when we're in the other side of town. It's going back about many, many years on the other side, we were in Waterbury proper, and a guy was getting a ride to yeshiva Erev Shabbos from Lebedek Echevra. It came time, the brick wall, and he said, I'm out of the car. They said, what do you mean? You're like 5 miles Waterbury. He said, I'm not driving a car in Shabbos. And he left the car, and he walked. They came to yeshiva, these Lebedek Echevra. They said, we were bringing this bacher. He got out of our car rightfully before Shabbos, and he's walking here. Now, it was a very, very, very difficult neighborhood to walk to yeshiva through. You come from the highway. He was walking down the 84 through a bad neighborhood. I felt very badly that he should walk, to a bad neighborhood. So I took the dovey of then. We had a guy in yeshiva who was a Geber. You remember who I took? Chaimai's brand. He was the dovey. He was a guy who every inner city guy was going to be afraid of. And we walked a nice distance in the city. It wasn't out of the tchum. We walked deep in the bad neighbor, but I stood next to him to be safe. Like, I would go outside and check this out, dovey, if you walked next to me. We weren't, you know, the only attack we got? I'm walking next to a tough guy, and we're walking in the bad neighborhood, and a man came over and kissed us both. Some guy was like drunk and we were attacked. He gave us both a kiss, some guy. Some people asked if we were attacked. We were. Trust me, we were scared of that guy's kiss. But a guy was very inebriated in the difficult neighborhood. He came over. He was excited to see two Yidden. It wasn't the common scene. Yitzi, everything's okay out there?
We lost power.
Is that true? That was a trans. What was that? Yeah. What happened?
Oh, good.
Yitzi, there's a yid, Reb Naftali Kaplan, who I was zeich, we would learn, a group of my friends and I would learn Torah with Reb Naftali Kaplan. He is a very worked out person. We're in the middle of a shiur, Avi. Gersh, we're in the middle of a shiur. He's learning with us. And there was an explosion in Eretz Yisrael, the likes of which freaked us all out. Now, I had a siyata d'shmaya. I liked Reb Naftali Kaplan a lot. I like him a lot. And I was watching the Rebbe. He didn't move. Explosion. It sounded like, right, we were like an underground in our Samach. So it was a basement like room, and it was like by the window above his head, an explosion. He didn't move, and he kept like learning with us. He didn't budge. And I found it very, very cool. But I find it cool also, curiosity. So I like that we were all curious. I went with that way of curiosity is good too. So, but that was cool to see him after, like an explosion. One of the exercises he did with us, he would teach us exercises. He wanted 10 things a day. At one point, for a week, we had to write down, Zevi, 10 things a day. He wanted us to learn self-control, to learn to be disciplined people, not just to be like a billboard. That a person has like a certain decision. Big Bali Musa, like they would get an itch, they would decide to scratch. He was like a very, and he wanted us to work on that more, to live with Chachma. So we had to write down 10 things a day, Danny. An ambulance came by and we didn't turn to look.
You decided?
to look. You're learning the Beis Medrash and some like big thing happens. 10 things you had to write down. You had to come with a notebook of 10 things a day that you didn't write. I think the number was 10. You had to write down 10 things over that week. That was an exercise. He wanted us to develop a discipline that something could happen and everybody could look. And you didn't look like a certain discipline like that he wanted us to acquire. But I saw in him, there was like an explosion. It was like very, it wasn't. But
that whole system.
I was looking back there, the first one. It works. Exercises work, certainly. He had a lot of, I'm not going to say in a week he has things. If I would have stayed, I'd be bigger. I moved to America shortly after. If I would have stayed, maybe I'd be a bigger person.
Oh my God.
There's such a thing. Self-control, there's such a...
Rips anybody who says
Rashbam, what does he say? Read it to us.
What's up? He doesn't say that. Ebenezer rips on the Rashbam.
He brings the Rashbam. The Shariyar brings the Rashbam that Chalila, that a Navi couldn't speak well, what was Megam game, was stuttered. He says it's not true. The Rashbam, the Ibn Ezra argues on the Rashbam that Ataka means that.
Sounds familiar.
It's interesting, the Chizkuni writes he didn't know Mitzri very well. Rashi says he didn't know Mitzri. The Chizkuni. The Kvarasim is that love Shag Lush and Mitzri. But he was out for decades. He was in Midian. And he was out, but he probably grew up speaking Lush and Kurdish was the first language. And then he was in Midian. I don't know. But the Ibn Ezra says that there was some. So they bring that medrash. That's how it happened. That medrash, yeah. You know the medrash, Av, we learn when we're kids. The medrash he brings, let's say the medrash, that Moshe grew up in the palace of Paray, and he would take Paray's crown and put it on the floor. And the melech wanted to kill him. He was like very busy with Paray's crown. And the stargazer said, "We said a guy's gonna save Klal Yisrael and destroy your malchus." And Moshe Rabbeinu taking Paray's crown and putting it on the floor made them suspicious that it was Moshe. So Paray made the following deal. This was the Eitzah. Yisrael, Eiv, and Bilam were his advisors. One said he's Chayiv Misa. That was Bilam. One says he's a child and he has no das. That was Yisrael. And what they end up doing, they brought him a kara, they brought Moshe Rabbeinu a platter, and on the platter was gold and a gachela shalesh, and a coal. They said, if he takes the gold, you see he's smart, and then for the fact that he puts your crown on the floor, kill him. And but if he takes the coal, then you just know he's a kid, he doesn't know. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to take the gold. The malach came and moved his hand and he took the gachelas and put it in his mouth and he became speech impediment for life. For putting the coal in his mouth was a speech impediment. That's the Medrash says about Moshe Rabbeinu's speech impediment.
I love the child services in Egypt over there, bro. Like, they're like very comfortable like putting the prince in this extremely compromised situation. Oh, here's the prince.
Ezzy, you have the rule what to do if anybody has a stutter? You might, is that obvious to you?
It's not obvious. It's not obvious.
It's so
obvious. The after you explain, I get, like, I'm saying, like...
I've been explained to this by people who struggled with stuttering. Menashe, is that what you would say? To, have you ever met some... Don't say over. Have you ever met some who struggled with stuttering? You hear what the rule you have to do is? Not to finish their sentences. Even if you know what they're going to say, and it feels, every sense feels like you should bail them out. Don't. Hear them. Be patient. Accept. And I think that conversation with somebody struggling with stuttering is a tremendous, tremendous lesson what every human being needs. Hear their voice, their statement, in acceptance, as slow, fast, quick as it is, to listen in that manner, I think, is the lesson to anybody.
Also, so if you get it wrong, though, it's probably very uncomfortable for that, but
yeah. You don't actually know what it means. Right. And if you get it right, it's still a sense of you didn't hear me say it, and I couldn't say it. But you're right, as if you get it wrong, then it's really been... You know, it's funny you say that, Aaron. Your instinct, one day your kid's going to learn how to walk, and there's instincts. I had cases with my kids. In Blue Ridge is on a mountain, Menashe. And when the kids get first learn to walk, they can get excited. My kids will, like, run, and running on a mountain for a little kid, they inevitably stumble. And there were times, like, I didn't let them do it, and my wife said, stop, let them. Now, even though you know there are going to be some falls... But that's part of the process. And it's true for all of life. This is true for, by the way, with little kids, letting a little kid get it out, not finishing the sentence of little kids. This lesson is true from somebody struggling with stuttering to a little kid, to older people, to adults, to let the person say and express and hear and accept what they're saying is a lesson. I wanted to share this lesson. We're reading about Moshe. It's a machlokes, what the speech issue, the ish dvarim of Moshe, but I wanted to speak to this. I think the lessons of hearing somebody is a story of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. Moshe Rabbeinu's mid, and I want to share a shla kaddish with the chevra. I want to share a shla kaddish with everybody here. Listen to this shla kaddish. At the beginning of Parashas Ve'era, we're getting, I kept you a long time, Menashe, we'll get to the ending of this. I want to share a shla kaddish with the chevra. At the beginning of Parashas Ve'era, so when it introduces us, Moshe and Aaron are going to speak to Hashem, so it really tells us where Moshe and Aaron come from. Now, before it tells us where Moshe and Aaron come from, it tells us Reuven's history, Shimon's history, and then Levi. It doesn't do all the Shvatim, Daniel, because the key is Levi. Moshe and Aaron, both Yehuda, everybody could focus back. I feel bad going so long, but this is really the wrapping together of everything we're saying. So Shmuel will close with this. The Torah is introducing us to Moshe and Aaron, and the Torah deems it, for whatever reason, telling us where Moshe and Aaron come from. And it wants to bring them back to Levi. Once it brings us back, Moshe and Aaron, to Levi, it doesn't want to skip over Reuven and Shimon. So it tells us Reuven and his descendants, Shimon and his, Levi and his. The Ramban speaks out, Daniel, it doesn't want to make it that, like, there's a takeover. A lot in the earlier, this is very interesting, in the earlier Svarim in the Torah, if everybody could hear this Ramban, I wasn't going to talk about Binyamin. Binyamin Lowy, I am thrilled that you're here. I absolutely, what you do every Thursday night is so big by me. I go places now. I had a speaking engagement last night. I wanted to bring guys to sing. It ended up there were other factors I didn't. Why speak? I want people to connect to what you can give, like a speech. I want people to connect a full body experience to Yiddishkeit, to experience Yiddishkeit. If you know anything about the early Hasidus, there are people who need to connect to Yiddishkeit with proofs, philosophically, and proofs. The best way in the world of Hasidus to connect to Yiddishkeit is experientially. To have an experience. Menashe, I could tell you about a tzaddik, Rav Aaron David, and talk and describe. The best thing is to experience it yourself. Us Chassidim hold, I can give lectures about Shabbos. You know what the best way is? Feel Shabbos. Run it through your system. When we're sitting at an einig and we're singing Ka'ech Seif, we're experiencing Shabbos. That experience of closeness, connection, something's here. So Binyamin started a Leil Shishi, and they sang and they shared the Vrei Torah. I love what you're doing, Binyamin, what you're creating, the warmth of it, the experiencing Shabbos is coming. And you could just feel it and experience it. So I appreciate what you're doing a lot, Binyamin. Keep going, Binyamin. I have a favorite, Binyamin. Binyamin, I have a chevra. We get together Thursday nights and we share Divrei Torah. I'm so moved by you. We're singing more now at our thing. We're singing. What Divrei? I want to like welcome this Shabbos. This week was the best one because of you. So your singing is causing more yidden to sing. Your connection is causing more connection. So Binyamin, like this, Hashem talks about Moshe and Aaron, and Va'era starts Moshe and Aaron's journey of coming in front of Hashem. Yosef, Hashem wants us to tell us about where Moshe and Aaron come from, and Hashem speaks about the Shevet Levi, who his kids were, and his kids to Moshe and Aaron. But instead of just speaking about Levi, it tells us inexplicably about Reuven and Shimon also. It's like weird. The beginning of Parshas Ve'era. And it says, these are the Rashi Beis Avaisam, the beginning of their families. Reuven, the Bechor Yisrael's son, was Chanoich, Palu, Chetzer, and Carmi. Shimon's children were Yemuel, Yamin, Oyad, Yochan, and Tzaychar, and Shol. And then it says, Levi's children were Gershon, Kasa, Merari. Gershon's children were Livni, Shimi, and Kassas was Amram Yitzhar, and Amram was Moshe, was Yecheved, Aaron, and Moshe. Now, the real purpose of the Torah is it's speaking about Moshe and Aaron, Dani, and it wants to tell us where they come from. So it says, Levi got married, and Levi had three children, Gershon, Kassas, and Merari. Gershon, and Kos had a child, and one of them was Amram. And Amram had children, Yocheved, Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe. So it was to trace back Aaron and Moshe's lineage, to tell us who these heroes are. Because the Torah is going to... Why does it speak about Reuven and Shimon? This is going to be one of the best pshat. I never told Hudi this. I want you to hear this, Hudi. Va'era is starting to focus, and you're going to have an extreme focus on Moshe and Aaron. And it wants to tell us, who do these heroes come from? So where do they come from? Levi gave birth to Amram. I'm sorry. Levi gave birth to three boys, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Kohath gave birth to Amram. Amram gave birth to Moshe and Aaron. So it tells you their lineage. Geshmak. That makes sense, Hudi. It's going to speak about Moshe and Aaron, the whole Shemais. He becomes the most important figure in the Torah. So it says his lineage. For some bizarre reason, it tells us Reuven and Shimon. Doesn't tell us any other Shvatim. And it makes no sense. By the way, Reuven's kids were. By the way, Shimon's, then it goes to Levi, inexplicably. It's from the weirdest psukim in the whole Torah, Hudi. I have a pshat that's MS Lamita. It's based on Ramban Yosef. I love this pshat. I wasn't even going to share it today. And Ashkenaz Hashem that Hashem made me think that I should right now, Daniel. Daniel, were you bothered by those psukim? Weird. Reuven's kids were, Shimon's kids were. What shaykhis? Levi's kids, it's introducing Moshe and Aaron. Danny, you know why Hashem did that? Inexplicably. Two Shvatim, it says Reuven and Shimon's kids. You want to hear Pshat, Yehuda? Who do you want to hear Pshat? You know why Hashem did it to me? It's Pashat. In Bereshis, the way the Torah works, Hashem creates a whole world. And slowly it zones in on the Bechir, on those that are chosen. Everybody's important, every human being. But the Torah slowly, Reb Miller describes, it focuses in on Avram. And Avram and his progeny, his descendants, become the chosen ones, become the most important people in the world. Everybody matters, but the focused ones are on Avram. That's how Bereishis works. If you read Sefer Bereishis, it describes a big world and slowly zones in on Noach, Shem, till Avram, and then Avram becomes the theme. The rest of the Bereishis pounds Avram. If you're reading Shemais, it looks like Yaakov has a lot of Shvatim, but then Levi had Moshe. And the sense is now we have the chosen one. We have Moshe and Aaron. And it's not that way. Every Yid remains the most important. So when the tyrant Shemais zones into Moshe and Aaron, so 1 second, Reuven had kids, Shimon had kids. I'm not leaving any Yid. It doesn't say all, it just says the one doesn't want to skip anybody. Reuven had kids, Shimon has kids. Hashem is saying that in this child, it's not like this one became the chosen and forget the others. They're all the chosen people. Emes Lamita. Rav Ezi, you hear the pshat?
Yeah.
I hold that's the Emes. It doesn't need to do the others. Reuven, Shimon, Levi was the third child. Not if it's skipped over. If it skipped over kids, so then, okay, we're now zoning in on Levi. We're not doing that. So it says the children, Reuven had kids, Shimon, and let me tell you Levi's children. I'm not saying now that Levi had this kid, let's put aside anybody. All the Yidna, the Amanivcher. So in speaking about Levi and his descendants, it doesn't want to skip over Reuven and Shimon. Once it speaks about the kids, still there. So I am talking about Moshe and Aaron now, but I'm not skipping the rest. So it says Reuven's kids and Shimon. Yeah. Who do you hear the pshat? It's Emes Lamita. It's based on, you hear the pshat, Avi? It's based on a Ramban. And it's Emes, every Yid counts. I have a pet thing when people try to make certain families in Klal Yisrael, they're like every Yid, all Mishpachas Yisrael are precious. We're a precious people. With precious Mishpachas, we're all princely families. And every Yid counts. You don't write out any Yid. Any Yid you don't write out. And the Torah, to highlight this, in speaking about Levi and his descendants, says Reuven's children, Shimon's children. Now,
why does it just say the boys? Why does it just say the boys and the men?
It says the ladies also. They probably didn't have. By here, it says Yocheved. By here, it says Yocheved. So it says, now, what I want to end with, is when it says B'nai Reuven, the sons of Reuven, it says their names. B'nai Shimon, it says their names. By Levi, it should say B'nai Levi. And it doesn't say, it says Ela Shmais B'nai Levi. So are the names of B'nai Levi. Now it says the names by Shimon and Reuven, but it just says the sons of Shimon, and it says their names. It says Dani's children are, Yosef's children are. By Levi, it says, and so are the names of Levi's children. Says the Shlach Kaddish, why the stress on the names? Says the Shlach Kaddish, what were Levi's children's names? Let's say the names. Gershon. Why was Gershon called Gershon? Because we were Gerim, we were foreigners. Kahas. Kahas means to grind your teeth, to be Kayashinov. It was when somebody's in anguish, grinds their teeth. And it's talking about the Tsar of Klal Yisrael and Golus. Merari means bitter. Says the Shlach Kaddish, Shevet Levi was not in servitude. The rule of Mitzrayim is all of Klal Yisrael served, not the Talmid HaChacham. Levi, whose job was Yorim Mishpatech LeYaakov, were not in service. Says the Shlach Kaddish, they named all their kids after the pain of Klal Yisrael. Even though they weren't in pain, they felt the pain of Klal Yisrael. And the Torah highlights not just who they were, but what their names were. Ela Shmais and Levi. And the Shlach Kaddish says the midah, the whole Shevet Levi. And this is the introduction to Moshe and Aaron. You know where they came from? A Shevet who gave a flip about Klal Yisrael. I want to say to everybody here, We're talking about how to speak to somebody who's struggling with stuttering. And to feel somebody else and to give somebody a voice, the mid of Shevet Levi is the care about other people. Don't be selfish. Right now, we're in a predicament. All of us are very comfortable and safe. We're not sitting in Gaza, but we have brothers and a big segment of Klal Yisrael in very precarious situations. And I think the ever importance in being present to it. I want to ask the guys, I started to notice a little weakening of the tefillin. Even after davening, Shuma, Rabbi Yisai B'Mechazik, strong to pray in our own Shemana Esrays, in our own Tehillim, our own behaviors, we have a large segment of Klal Yisrael in a tremendously dangerous situation. I want us, like Shevet Levi, to be that Shevet that gets it when other members of Klal Yisrael are in pain, they feel it. Their own kids' names, Donnie, were after the pain of Klal Yisrael. Feel the next person. Great, great people are able to be nice and feel somebody else. We spoke how to speak to somebody who's struggling with stuttering. Always understand the other person's perspective. That's the midah of Shevet Levi. That's the backdrop from where Moshe came, says the Shlach Kaddish. You not want to know what produced the greatest Rebbe and the greatest prophet we ever had in our nation? They came from a Shevet who cared about other people. So I want us all to be mechazik. I ask the guys, first of all, to think about the people in Eretz Yisrael. And the second thing is to notice people in the dorm. We saw a little storm brewing today, some snow. There's supposed to snow Tuesday. There's a tendency in the winter, people hole up. Notice people, speak to people, give people voices. Talk to people, encourage people, notice people, hear people. The listening to the one who stutters is just a lesson that to listen to everybody. Walk into rooms and notice people. Maskim Dani? That's what we need to do. The mid of Moshe Rabbeinu is Vayarbis of Lysim. He feels other people, he notices other people. So let's practice that. I want to welcome Menashe back home. It means a lot that you're back home, Menashe. Menashe, I saw three major growths in Menashe. He physically, his muscles, he looks much more like Davi than when he left. I've noticed that. He shot up. I always looked up to him in other ways, but now he shot up. And maturity. So I'm proud of you. I'm happy you're back home, Menashe. Welcome home. Me and Martha missed you a lot. A lot of us missed. We're just happy you're back. I want to welcome Shmuel Epstein. Shmuel, right? Shmuel's brother, Usher Epstein, learned here for years, important member of the yeshiva. And now we get Shmuley for Shabbos and a little more. Come many other Shabbos. Gabi, thanks for bringing Shmuley and Menashe. Thank you. Shmuley Epstein, right there. You remember Usher Epstein? Usher, you had Shaykhis to Usher. From Baltimore, Usher Epstein. Fact or fiction, Ezzy? Look at Shmuel. Do you think his father flies a plane? 100%. It's true. True story. A little fun fact about Shmuel. True story.
Like the Top Gun movies.
Flies a plane. Shmuley Lakovich, where is Shlomo Gur? Before we dive in Mincha, do a nice song for Shmuley and Menash. One second. Shmuley, you deserve it.
I have a guitar.
We'll dive in Mincha right after, but let's get a couple of songs. A little stuttering, babe.
Rebbe, I think it's good to practically talk to somebody. After a shit, I can call up my uncle. Shmuel's a good conversation. Stubbs. He's very similar thing. He just got married.
They are so hard over the phone. Over the phone.
They can't tell. I can FaceTime.
He's so smart. Over the phone, somebody struggles with stuttering is murder. Because they don't know what you're doing. In person, the East just be calm. Just stay present. taking a long time.
FaceTime, like,
the face has to stay. Let's go. Let's do something really nice. Alex Clear. Are you, you're a huge Alex Clear guy? Are you a big Alex Clear guy? Alex Clear.
It's just the side.
Look, two songs are put together. Chevra Eli. Shlomo said, Srilly. Srilly. Shlomo says he would do two Alex. He would do an Alex Clear song.
I don't know the song. If I did, Srilly,
you'll do something next. So do that. What?
He's doing it.
I'm just a man, I got these troubles, I'm making plans. I know there's really nothing but you. Keeps me awake at night, thinking of the way we can fuss and fight. There must be somewhere I can get through. I have not slept for days. 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 There's a war going on in my heart. Got a battle kicking off in my heart. There's a war going on in my heart. And see, there's really nothing if I know I can't have you. And what would I be forgiven for the
David, come.
Stern.
Should we do Feed in the Water? We haven't done Feed in the Water. Lekavin Menashe, we haven't done Feed in the Water in a long time. Why do you hold up?
Really,
really, let's go.
Duffy. I would sing it, but like,
too soon.
Menashe, you ready? This is a good one. This is written by David.
UConn's very young.
No.